Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your fill-in host, substitute teacher Dave Atwell, starting things off this evening. Hope everybody is doing well and is safe out there. We will start passing the introductions around to my esteemed panel. Most esteemed. Uh-oh. Was that a fart? Sound like a digital fart almost. That was pretty neat. Maybe that's the aliens talking to us already. Alien flashlands. You heard it here first, folks. So, starting things off, ladies first, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm very well. My convention got postponed to March 4th in a week, so due to Mother Nature, you know, but that's okay. But I would like to give a shout-out to my wonderful husband, David Burt. Tomorrow is his birthday. So happy birthday, David.
Yay!
Happy birthday. Good deal.
So
and he'll
worked
be turning
every day last
again,
week.
Right?
He worked every day last week. He worked a couple of nights last week because of the weather. So he was maxed out on vacation time. So he worked Monday, and he's taking the rest of the week off. So.
Good deal. Good deal. Get a little rest.
Yeah.
Everybody needs it after doing all that. That's for sure.
For sure. For sure.
Dave,
now you can have the list made for us. Yeah.
The one that I just heard here wasn't digital. It wasn't the cats. And the only other person in the room is the wife. Just saying. Since you brought that word up earlier.
Well done. Compliments to the chef. So with all that said, Todd, outside of being in a cloud at the moment, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing outstanding to supernatural, ecstatic to be here. We hit 71 degrees. It was a beautiful thing. But I got to tell you, the bloody mosquitoes, or the blood-sucking mosquitoes, and remember, it's only the females that do it, they are out in number tonight. All that rain, man, and they hit that warmth, a little bit of sun for 2 days, and, man, they are up and out and at it. Holy smokes.
Yeah,
happy February. But on the plus side, I will mention, while I'm here in lovely eastern North Carolina, you know, some beautiful signs of spring. The daffodils are working their way up to try to bloom. So I know some of our Yankee folks will be looking for the crocus to be out around now. That kind of stuff, some first signs of spring. So there are a few signs of spring. So stay positive, people. It's getting better.
Yeah, I don't think we're much further from it. Of course, if you looked at the weather, we're up against another 5-6 days of rain apparently coming up. So that just made my week. Back to the wetlands. So this place will be the bayou before the month's up. But nevertheless, Todd, good to have you on. Good to hear your voice. Tim, in Indianapolis, how's it going up there with you, buddy?
Not too bad. I don't know about spring approaching. I'd say that the best thing we got is we're finally starting to thaw out. But from my travels, I know that usually in those southern states, spring seems to come about a little bit quicker. So we're a few weeks behind. We'll be hopefully looking forward to some blooming action in a few weeks. But all is well here. Like I said, we're thawing out. It actually got up to above 50, I think. And I have no idea what the next few days holds, but, you know, it's like any other Midwest state. If you don't like the weather today, stick around tomorrow. It'll change. Doing all good.
That's kind of like Arkansas weather. It was 70s yesterday and 60s today, so, you know, you never know what it's going to do.
Right.
I think we're looking at 80 on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, but of course – yeah, backed up with rain. So,
did you say 80?
Hey, speaking of all mosquitoes, I've been chasing. 80. There was like this 4-pound mosquito hawk flying around my house for the last hour, and I finally just got him. I'm a beast. Dale's laughing at me. She doesn't think I'm a beast.
No, I get it. The mosquito hawks here, I think they're the one cat, they're his favorite rite of spring and summer. He just loves chasing those darn things.
Some of them carry them off as big as they're getting, for God's sake. But, yeah, this thing's been buzzing around for about an hour and a half in the kitchen. And just now when Tim was speaking, I did the old swat. Got him down on the ground and double tapped him with the boot, so he is gone. I'm digging this. I am the skeeter slayer.
When they get by the stove hood, because we have taken the little filter off there, and I'll go ahead and I'll hit the exhaust fan and hear him get sucked up in there, and you hear the funk.
I've never tried that. I'm gonna have to give that one a shot. That's good. Yeah, because they're big. And I mean, I imagine they make some rockets. So tonight, we have a special guest. That's right. He's very special. He is back, ladies and gentlemen, our long-lost host, Dr. John. How are you doing tonight, buddy? You doing great?
Well, I'm very upset with you, Dave.
What's
you
new?
Called me esteemed. You called me esteemed. Are you saying I'm full of steam, that I'm full of hot air?
I was going to say you could be a fried or a sautéed instead of a seamed, if you'd like.
It would seem to go along with
you. You know what? My jokes still aren't any good. But I'm doing great, and it was 78 in Charleston today. Where I was, oh my God, it was the most beautiful day in the world. I called several people up and said it's 78 degrees, and we got a cool breeze blowing. It was great. So anyway, it's great to be on here after a multi-week absence due to personal endeavors. I'm going to be trying to be on more, but it is great to be with my friends. Every one of you are good friends, and so thank you for having me, Dave.
Absolutely. It's good to have you back.
And I don't want you to be confused. Just because you are taking another course that you have to attend regularly, because you attend a course, doesn't mean yet you have class, just to be clear.
Your joke's as bad as mine, Todd. Come on. I love it.
I could have done Rodney Dangerfield. This show is like Rodney Dangerfield. Call in when you have no class.
You remember
I
the movie
Rodney Dangerfield?
Well, I got a good one for you guys. Yesterday, my son and my husband was with me, and they were agitating me like they both love to do. And I said, "This is not Pick on Mom Day." And David says, every day is Pick on Mom Day because it's in the contract. I said, what contract? He says, the contract you signed when you said I do. And I said, well, buddy, that goes both ways.
Nice.
It takes a Wendy to be funny. Yeah.
Hey, it's bad enough when I have one of them agitating me, but when I've got both of them together, I don't stand a chance.
Granny Hollister, don't feel bad. I asked the wife, I said, hey, what was your first visible signs of old age? And she said, when I rolled over and saw you in bed next to me.
Yeah,
that
boy.
Was a good one.
That's a funny joke. When I rolled over and saw you in bed with me. Oh. Okay.
So,
Damn.
So tonight,
since we always are trying to find something new, innovative, and interesting to speak on, and we spent a little too much time speaking on Tom Brady last week, we decided,
never,
in honor of us putting a piece of hardware on Mars and the possible encounter with an unidentified object, they don't call them UFOs anymore. They call them like IUDs or something like that. Nevertheless, we decided to go with a space exploration / alien topic tonight. And we kindly ask everybody to bring a little chunk with them. So, does anybody out there have something intriguing they'd like to lead off the lineup with tonight?
Dr. John here, if I may say something early on, I have a very dear friend named Angelia Shear. She was the president of Tennessee MUFON, and she was given executive director of MUFON, Mutual UFO Network of the Year, last year. A really lovely lady. I've known her for about 5 or 6 years, and she passed away from brain cancer 3 weeks ago. And just, we all miss Angelia. Her husband, Dale, has just been inundated with calls and everything. And so I just wanted to say, if we're going to talk about UFOs, I wanted to say, Angelia, if you're listening to us, I'm going to dedicate this show to you because you were the UFO girl. And thanks for enriching our lives. And I hope she can hear me. So that's all I've got to say. I will now turn over control of the TV set back to Dave, and he can restart the show.
No, absolutely. But that's sad news to hear. And like I said, I'm a firm believer that we get closer on the other side. But nevertheless, it is sad to hear that news, and wish her and, you know, her family and everybody the best. So.
Hey,
you got
to get back on the board. We have somebody in the queue.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to jump on there right now. So, Tim, did you have something to add?
I was just going to point out that you said IUD, and it happened to cross my mind that an IUD is actually a form of birth control. So, however you want to cross-reference that with an unidentified flying object.
I didn't want to be the one to bring that one up now, okay?
Well, I thought I would mention that I had a dyslexic law enforcement pull me over, and he gave me an IUD instead of a DUI.
Jokes are getting better now. Okay.
All right, I'm waiting for Diamond Dave to get our person in the queue, and I'm trying to hold it as a bit of a surprise for those that don't already know. But while we're doing that, we can talk about MUFON, because MUFON is unreal. They have some great stuff. They them and the Hangar One folks, I liked a lot of the stuff that they've had on the air that I've got to watch.
Okay.
All right.
I'm curious. Who was in the queue, Dave?
That would be none other than our good brother and man against the ropes, Papa Stro. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I've finally come up for air, being the queue forever and a day. But great to be here. I've enjoyed the weather report.
Oh.
I've enjoyed the sexual fantasies, and I've also enjoyed flying objects in the sky. So I mean, it's great to be here.
That's only tip of the iceberg. Trust me.
Oh, I can only imagine. On this show.
But yeah, it's definitely good to have you aboard tonight and everything, and I hope everybody's well. I hope Mom's well too. I understand she had a little medical issue going on there, and I hope everything was coming around with that too. So
thank you for caring. I really appreciate that, Dave. She's doing much better, and but thanks for asking. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's good to have some people remember family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, family's worth Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, for some of us, our folks are starting to get around that age where, you know, it's getting a little more common than usual. And, you know, all of us get in a hurry sometimes, but you got to take time to stop and, you know, keep the communication open and checking up on and everything. So, yeah, good to hear she's doing
it's
well.
The little things,
and,
the little things.
Yeah, most certainly. Most definitely. So tonight's topic, if you haven't picked up already, is the whole alien space exploration thing. So feel free to chime in when you have something.
Oh, like the Martian Chronicles from back in the day. Remember the Martian Chronicles?
Well, there you go. What was it, Project Blue Book, that old show?
Yeah.
That was a cool show back in the day, though.
It sure was.
Because it was the two Air Force guys that used to go on the investigative things.
Right.
Because the introduction would start with the Ezekiel saw the wheel. This is the wheel that he saw. And then he came over with the rest of the intro. But, yeah, that was a cool show.
It really was.
So here we are. In the same nation that can't hold a viable election, we managed to put another robot on Mars. So there's no telling.
Imagine that.
From what I understand, we can't get the cure for cancer, and we care of our veterans, but we can get a robot on Mars. So I'll leave that there.
That's amazing.
Come on, NASA has NASA. They don't necessarily get the public love. Let's face it, a lot of stuff will never have the fascination of getting a man on the moon that was, and the phenomenal, you know, leap of technology that was. But they have continued to do things.
Star Trek put them over. Star Trek put NASA over. Remember Star Trek the Motion Picture? V'ger, which was Voyager?
Yeah.
Star Trek put them over. Yeah.
But now, Todd, I've got to ask you a question about that. Are you really sure that we've ever been to the moon?
Oh, my God. You sucked it right away from me. Oh, my gosh.
You
topic blocker.
Let's check the queue again. Yeah, he's, I guess you could say that Dr. John is your quark blocker. That's funny.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the right way to say
that.
A Jules Verne favorite,
right there.
But I absolutely don't think that the supposed first landing on the moon with Neil Armstrong was a landing. I think they got there, but again, I'll say this: they didn't have digital technology. They could not do it. They could not put a man on the moon. Not with the technology.
So, what kind
of
cheese is the moon made of, Dr. John? Velveeta, Swiss, provolone.
Well, we don't have
Pepper
the
Jack.
Man in the moon anymore. It's, you know, when I grew up, we had the face of a man in the moon. It's gone now. So, I mean, you tell me. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there, and that's one of them. The man in the moon is gone.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about shaving.
That's right.
Diamond Dave, did you get the cue?
Oh, no, I didn't. We got somebody on. Let me go in back in there because I'm out here enjoying this Trump edition cigar that Dale got me. So it's burning a little too good.
Nice. Oh, man, that's too cool.
Very cool indeed. Now, what's going on? Just to be clear, UFO as an unidentified flying object has now been replaced with unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP.
That's too many letters. God, I get tongue-tied just thinking about that.
I'm with Dear Lord. Lord. That's too many letters. Come on.
That's like LGBTQ+.
Yeah, I mean.
Spell that.
Hey, what's going on?
The amazing Velvet, the one and only.
Hey Velvet, what would you rename a UFO if you had a chance to? Just curious.
<You're> don't know. That'd be a hard one, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know, because, I mean, you have probably been forever, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I would rename it Tom Brady and give Liz a free ticket to ride.
I think before a UFO gets up in the air, you'd have to call it waiting to fly. So WTF might be a good one.
I like that. WTF. Yeah, I like that.
Look at you.
I can roll that.
Well, something more to use.
Tom Brady's an alien, I think.
Does anybody remember the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile? Maybe it's the Wienerphone.
Yeah. Oh, it could be like Austin Powers. It could be Shoney's big boy ship.
Right?
Dr. Evil is fine.
We got Wieners.
Let's make a hot dog.
In space.
I'm glad this is what we come up with for the topic of us landing on Mars with a robot. This is how we talk about it.
Yeah. Landing on Mars with a robot. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we can make Martian cakes on Mars. It'd be tremendous.
Right?
Red velvet Martian cakes.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I'm upset nobody left at my joke.
Look at that red velvet. Velvet, you could be a communist wrestling character as an alter ego.
Very good.
Exactly. He could sing the national anthem.
Nikolai Volkov.
Yes.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That would be hilarious. I'd do it.
Yeah.
I ain't got no shame in my game. But I have to do it in the Ivan Koloff voice. Here we go. You shut up, my nephew Nikita. We will break him. We will break the Anderson.
we get some of that Martian vodka.
There you go.
Vodka.
Right. Or the vodka. Or the Martian from the Bugs Bunny cartoon. Yeah, we get him too.
Yes. I hope he's there.
Yeah.
I really hope he's there somewhere in Mars. That'd be great.
My P-32 laser blaster. Gotta have that.
That'd be tremendous.
It would be tremendous.
He's got to blow up Earth because it affects his view of Venus.
Hey, at least there's ice on Mars, so we can have drinks.
I like it.
You know, there's supposed to be a hidden base on Mars with humans and Martians working together.
Oh, wow. What if they have hot tubs out there? That'd be great. Jacuzzis?
Hey,
like hot springs? Kind of like we do here?
They say that this new rover that they put on Mars, though, that it has all kinds of stuff, like a built-in laboratory. It's got audio. It's got all kinds of nifty gadgets on it. So, God knows what that thing's going to send back.
Some of the older ones did that with the soil samples and that, but it's the way they look for the ratios, kind of like you do a thing, you have to have a certain quantity, and then you're looking for one part in, whether it's a one part in 100, 1,000, a million. And so there was definitely some controversy on the previous testing on some of the soil samples in Mars. So it'll be nice to know how they're doing the process, how detailed, how granular it is. That'll be very interesting, Dave. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's really cool. It's just cool.
Take a selfie during a Martian dust storm. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no telling what that thing's going to be able to do. And, you know, with the audio, that brings a whole new facet of, you know, stuff that could go on up there that they can, you know, keep up with. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I recall the other robots they put up there. They had everything from mobility issues and communication issues and all that kind of jazz. I'm curious to see how much more sophisticated this thing is that they put out there. But, yeah, it's got to make you wonder. You know, I was looking on some stuff prior to the show where there are theorists out there that mankind actually started on Mars and used Mars up, so to speak. It went basically the same way. It went in the same direction as what your little girl Greta's been talking about, how, you know, we're using up the Earth and the Earth is going to turn to dust and yakety yak. But their advancement left Mars as a barren planet, and they moved to Earth to colonize, and they were actually the ones who put the engineering into Stonehenge pyramid, Sphinx, all that kind of nifty stuff. I know it's a little far-fetched, but, you know, it gives you a relative bit of wonder that perhaps Mars is a lot like Earth, and they basically used it up. You know, didn't keep up with the conservation or the preservation, better yet. And, there's no telling. Because right now, you know, it looks like it's nothing but dirt and rock to me. But if they could find
water, yeah, this could revive the Mars candy bar business, too. Be tremendous.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be interesting. I don't think I've heard that candy bar name in a really long time. Ye old Mars bars.
God, they were so good. I miss them.
The stopping you think of some of the stories and reasons for why there is so little atmosphere on Mars and that. There's some great stories with that one. And it's just the stories are friggin' great, but stop and think about how some of our stories and stuff happened. Our early telescopes that had, you know, the optics weren't all that, and that's where they came up with the whole theory of the canals and everything, and of course the inspirations that caused with, you know, ye old Jules Verne and whatnot. So just there's some amazing stuff out there. And the interesting thing about how many cultures use Mars as a warrior's planet, not strictly just the Greek / Roman adaptation of the Greek god, but, you know, the god of war over there. The other stories, like the Anunnaki used Mars as a way station for the stuff that they did here, if you're to believe the things that were written in cuneiform.
No kidding. I didn't know all that.
Oh, look up some of that Sumerian stuff. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
heck
the best
yeah.
I can tell you, there was an orchestra piece that's each planet had a title to it, and Mars was the bringer of war. That's all I was going to add.
You're talking about Homes
in fact,
the Planets?
That song is actually a theme song for, does anyone remember the, there was a TV series, I think a movie that was called V, and stood for Visitors, and
yeah.
It was about the...
Visitors, yes. Love
yeah,
that series.
That was
remember
awesome.
That? They tried to reboot
Mark
that.
Mark Singer was in it, and like a whole bunch of, the guy, Freddy Krueger, the guy
yep.
played
yeah.
Freddy Krueger was
right.
in it.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what his real name is, but yeah, he was in it.
Yeah, Robert England, that's him. Sorry.
Yep.
Robert England.
Yes.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I'm sorry, Diana was hot. That actress, Diana, that played Diana, she was hot. She was amazing.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah, she was.
And didn't they have something called Soylent Green?
That's Charlton Heston's story. Back in the day. Yeah.
It's a whole other story.
It's people!
Which I feel was kind of, I don't know, that always reminded me one way or the other of the Twilight Zone episode To Serve Man.
Oh yeah.
With the alien that looked like Lurch. Remember him?
And for those that don't necessarily remember that episode, the book To Serve Man, that the aliens came and were evacuating people, it was a recipe book. It was pretty cool.
I wonder if they had, like, carrots and peas along with everything else, like the veggies mixed in with their cookbook there. That'd be really cool.
Todd, I didn't know that's what hops and pepper was.
Todd, is that the same one where the aliens come down and they basically they start running these experiments on humans and they have like this town in a bubble and I don't think anybody can get out and they cut the power except for one house?
No, that's everybody.
Okay. All right.
That's funny because, oh, yeah, I remember that episode pretty well. And, oh, my God, there was a character in there named Les that said, no dice. Trying to get something started, and what do you have, gents? From the bartender. Yeah. See, we could do a whole show on Twilight Zone. I'm telling you, there were some great stories in there.
Oh yeah.
I bet anything aliens would call mushrooms UFOs. Hey, let's put some UFOs in our meal. They look like us.
I want to go back to what Dr. John said. Because we both had the same idea there. So, what does everybody else think? I know I've got my opinion, but what about that first moon landing? Who on the call here agrees that it happened, and who says it was just a bunch of it was a hoax that was set up to make it look like it did it?
Well, I'm not going to have an astronaut knock me out, man, like that. One of them did that one guy. So I'm not going to, you know, get down. I ain't no hating on the astronauts.
No, I'm going to go with it happened. Unless that is, I tell you, because let's just say for conversation's sake, it was a fraud. What about the value of the moon rocks that they brought back the first time? That would be the biggest fraud in the world, given the dollar value of those things.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if I see clips of Virgil having the gimmick table on the moon, then I know it's a work. But, I mean,
there's no question. I mean, there's a possibility. I would say they pulled it off, but in the event that it ever came to light that they hadn't for certain, it really wouldn't shock me, because there's a couple things that, you know, are questionable, and probably one of the biggest things that stick in my mind is, why haven't we gone back? You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's kind of like you go to a great restaurant and you're like, God, man, this restaurant was great. And then you never go back and eat there again. So you go through all this beating the Russians out and all this kind of jazz, and you get there and you accomplish what you wanted. But on the flip side, you don't follow up to it. And that would be my one question, you know, my one doubt that it actually happened. Now, there's another conspiracy with NASA around the same time, and it concerns Gus Grissom. And the and God, I feel awful because I cannot remember the two other astronauts that passed when was it Gemini? God, which one was it that caught on fire? regardless, when Gus Grissom and two other astronauts lost their lives in that capsule fire, there's a lot of speculation out there that that was arranged. And Gus Grissom apparently was the more vocal of the group of astronauts, you know, when you watch The Right Stuff and all that. He was the more vocal, the more objectionable. He was the guy who was always saying, hey, guys, you know, you're doing something crooked here. He wasn't necessarily a whistleblower, but he was a straight shot and didn't mind saying something to set the record straight. And there's speculation that perhaps that was set to silence Grissom and to send a silent message to everybody else in the program that, hey, run your mouth, and this is what's going to happen to you. So, I mean, if that's a possibility, then, yeah, there's got to be a possibility that they didn't put somebody on the moon.
I want to say this. As far as I know, we didn't have the technology to dress people up to get through the Van Allen radiation belt. They'd be dead. You know, they had those thin little suits. And number two, they didn't have the digital technology to compute those trajectories. Because if you got anything just the least bit wrong, you could have missed the Earth on the way back and just went catapulting into the sun. So they're just too many.
That'd make
problems.
One hell of a TV dinner, that's for sure. Sounds very much.
But it's like, there's just too many problems with it. You know.
I just want to run into, because that's kind of cool because you're talking a conspiracy theory against not. But what about the conspiracy theories for it did happen and all those little pieces, parts of like the gaps in the broadcast, the live broadcast where they so-called switch channels or whatever, and they're like, hey, they're there on the crater. They're watching us. Anybody tracking that one, following that one?
Yeah.
There was life on Mars talking to them or observing on the moon, observing them as they why they were there.
That's no moon. That's a space station.
It's a holler space station.
I could throw a monkey wrench in all of them. Okay? I can't say either way, yes, it happened or no, it didn't happen. I agree with John on some of the technology we did not have. I can agree with that. But maybe this all was trying to happen because of what happened in Roswell with what they found. Trying to get there, up there to talk to them.
Yeah, that's
a possibility. Because if they faked the moon landing, okay, they faked it because they didn't have the technology to get into space, to send somebody up there to actually converse with aliens anywhere up there, whether it's the moon or whatever. But if they did land on the moon, who's to say they didn't do anything or they did do something? And that was the whole purpose.
Well, the moon
pies
Lassie
for everybody.
I'm going to send Lassie after you because you sound like you fell down a well. Anybody else think so?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm struggling to hear him too.
What? Oh, excuse me.
Moon. You're having moon pie, Velvet.
You know what? It's one of the few times.
Things are good.
It's one of the few times anybody actually said, speak up.
Oh, y'all can't hear me. I'm in the car. I'm sorry. I got no control.
Ah, gotcha.
Well, that's better.
Oh, is it better now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you didn't hear what I said, who's to say whether or not they faked it or not? who's to say the whole thing wasn't built around trying to talk to aliens because of what happened prior to all of us going to the moon, like the Roswell incident, and you got all that crap out there and you can't get near it. Everybody freaks out about it if you try to go there. Maybe that was a part of going to the moon.
I like it.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I mean, because you don't know the act. We don't know any actual factual, because I agree. They talked about the switching of the network channels from one to another, and there's a huge gap in time. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right. I'm one of those ones that says the moon landing happened, just to be clear.
I think it happened too, but I'm just but it could have been an ulterior motive type deal. That's all I'm thinking.
The true test would be if the moon could survive Slim Whitman's version of Blue Moon played on the moon.
Wow.
Blue Moon.
Oh my God.
That's the truth.
Why do I know it's going to be Boxcar Willie next?
Right?
Hey, that's a good idea.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm
my
also
goodness.
On
board. No.
My thought is that it happened. I think there's way too many missions. Of course, I can't really quote. You're not supposed to quote Wikipedia. You know, anybody, any knucklehead can put what they want out on Wikipedia. But first,
oh, tell me about it. I argue them about my whole career all the time. You're writing about me. Go figure.
Oh my God.
I know exactly what you mean.
Sounds like whoever put this is saying there were six missions that landed men on the moon. The first was the Apollo the 11, which was with Neil Armstrong. But when you come up with the different trips that we've taken, and Apollo 13, which, you know, the movie was made with Tom Hanks and such, you know, that story seems pretty legit. And you can read about it wherever you go. And I mean, they were close. They just had something go wrong, and they basically just all they could do was go around it. But I for one think it happened.
So I am on Seeker.com right now, speaking on the Gus Grissom case, right? And I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but they're speaking how there was a congressional Congress investigated NASA over it, which, you know, they're just, you know, Congress just is crooked. So, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
It was Gus Grissom's son who was pressing the issue. And let's see here. Bear with me a second. Yeah. Because they were concerned about Grissom. The younger Grissom had suspicions. And I say younger Grissom, speaking on his son, had his suspicions in the 1960s, but wasn't able to prove foul play until the 1990s when he was granted access to the charred Apollo 1 capsule. Rooting around the instrumentation, he found a fabricated metal plate behind a switch on one of the instrument panels that controlled the source of the capsule's electrical power. Its placement behind the switch, he said, was clearly an act of sabotage. It ensured that any crew member toggled that switch, there would be a spark, the spark that would have been enough to start the fire that killed the crew. A McDonnell Douglas engineer, Clark McDonald, backed Scott Grissom's story. In his own accident investigation, he identified an electrical short brought on changeover to the battery power as the reason for the fire. But NASA destroyed his report, he said, in an attempt to stem public criticism of the space program. As a motive for sabotage, or as a motive for murder by sabotage, Scott Grissom said that NASA wanted to prevent his father from being the first man on the moon. He said the agency never got over the embarrassment of losing the Liberty Bell 7 capsule and didn't want the same astronaut commanding a mission as historic as the first moon landing. It's a story that's been floating around a while, but it's a hard one to swallow. and it continues on. But yeah, apparently, you know, Grissom was the leading guy for, you know, the whole moon thing. And then, of course, you know, there was the Liberty Bell, you know, capsule that was not successful and everything. And it was another blame game where Grissom said, hey, you know, X, Y, and Z wasn't right. NASA, of course, says, oh, no, we never do anything wrong. And there was an awful lot of other stuff that I've read and seen on documentaries where he was good for leaving snarky notes and that kind of stuff for the engineers and everything. And, you know, again, it's politics. Politics in the workplace. And, you know, we all know that sometimes if you push against the grain so much, they'll find a way to make you go away. And another one of those ones, gotta make you wonder. Because it wasn't only NASA, I feel, that was involved in the whole moon thing. Because they were getting a lot of pressure from the White House because we were up against Russia, or the Soviet Union, better yet. To get there, it was. They call it the space race, and that's exactly what it was. So, I mean, yep. They were getting direct pressure from the president to get somebody on the moon. And, you know, if you got Grissom down there saying, hey, we're not doing this right, we're not doing that right, you've got NASA just saying, somebody shut the guy up, he's going to get us all killed. You know, so it's got to stir thought, make you wonder, you know.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't necessarily a whistleblower. That was not what Gus Grissom was. He just stood by the truth. You know what I mean? He wasn't one of these guys that was one for covering things up. If it was wrong, it was wrong. If it was right, it was right. That was the type of guy he was from what I've, you know, judged. He was not a thorn in the side. He was just basically a guy who stood for doing things correctly. And, you know, it's like anything else you do. It's not about being right. It's about being right at the right time. So, I don't know. It's definitely interesting reading, you know.
Yeah, that's good stuff because that was a hot mess. Now, I don't know if anybody else here is in the position that they actually, when I worked with in Houston, Texas, we'll leave some of the details out. We had some astronauts on our rolls. And I'll tell you, it's those are some amazing cats. Some of the training they do, some of the stuff they do. You talk about specially screened, trained, and qualified to get there. Those guys were something else. And working with we did some stuff with NASA out of Houston. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. It just, in fact, one of the guys that was on a rolls ended up being the HMFIC at NASA, which is pretty darn cool. It's there's guys there. I mean, I got to toot a horn. There's a guy that was a Marine that was one of the shuttle commanders. So for those that think it's all Air Force and or Navy, Marine Colonel Cabana was a shuttle commander. So, but yeah, those guys, the stuff they do, the dedication they have, the smarts are, they're fairly sharp cookies, just saying.
Yeah. And, you know, and being an astronaut, as you alluded to, that's not just one of those things where you're going to find slouches. You know what I mean? It's not one of those professions where you're going to find, I mean, every profession has its lower tier But to be a lower tier person as an astronaut means you're well ahead of the curve on everybody else. And, you know, we're talking highly intelligent, highly squared away, highly responsible people. And I think that would be the part I would drive home the most, is that they're more responsible. These are the type of people who can manage the outside like they do the inside. And Todd, I'm sure you've been through it. And Tim, in your field, I'm sure you've been through it too, where there are colleagues that are trying to get into certain branches of the military or the Secret Service or the FBI or what have you. And you actually get asked to interview on their behalf about their credibility.
Oh, ye old character references.
Exactly. And they don't ask questions. They don't ask questions like, you know, hey, was he a good guy in school? They ask questions about, you know, has he ever borrowed money from you and paid it back? You know, have you ever seen him steal something? Would you trust him driving your wife to X, Y, and Z? You know what I mean? It's some real in-depth personal type questions. And
no.
Yeah. Not that I know of, least ways. Yeah. But they're,
we ain't
they're
driving
directed.
My wife anywhere.
Well, oh, what I think is funny, you know, Velvet, you say it that way. It's not like you were worried about us hitting on her. You're just worried about what stories we can tell that she don't know yet.
Right. Exactly. Y'all don't need to know
what
happens.
Yeah. What happens on Pop Culture Story stays on Pop Culture Story.
Down low.
Exactly. What's said on the show stays on the show, and my wife all about kayfabe.
That's funny. Yeah, Tim. Oh God, Tim will never let me near his wife because I'll be like the one that. And this is a true story. I think Tim, this will probably be reasonably okay. If not, you can put the kibosh on it. But I asked Tim. I was talking dad stuff. Some of us are older, and we grew up in Snow Belt. And or spent time in Snow Belt, and we remember some of the winter hijinks. And my brothers and I were talking about bumper skiing this last weekend. Any of you ever done the bumper skiing? Yeah, now remember when we had real bumpers that we could hold on to. With the cars, you know, the wintertime, the roads were still snow covered, especially the side streets. Somebody would grab the old vehicle, and we'd throw several of us on the bumper, and we'd hold on to it and just go on down the road and stuff like that. And I was like, Tim, did you teach your kids that? And he was like, oh my God, that'd be the death of me if I did something like that. Because I was like, you know, the new, let's face it, new vehicles are no bumpers to hang on to. But I think we're probably a little safer as parents now than our parents were with us back in the day. We put a little risk management in there.
Yeah, but the kids today have no clue. They're all on Wi-Fi. They're all on the phone, the tablet, the computer, or whatever. They weren't like us. We didn't have cell phones and all this. Go outside. Well, what am I supposed to do? Figure it out. And that's what they need to do. They need to take all that away and let them go outside and figure it out like we did. I terrorized my neighborhood. They didn't like me at all. I blew stuff up. I blew mailboxes up. I played mailbox baseball.
Basically, Velvet was an arsonist.
Poor Stretch Armstrong. That poor guy didn't have a chance. I mean, we
right.
did it all.
Well,
he just want to blow shit up.
Hey, listen. An M80 was a quarter stick of dynamite. You get four of them together, you got a stick of dynamite.
The old H100, baby.
Yes, sir.
There were M80s and H100s and stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, I was telling Tim that, you know, I remember growing up, we'd do the bumper skiing and stuff, and you might
hit
a thawed manhole cover, and, you know, you were going for a spill, and, man, your gloves would be in the back of the vehicle. Well, one of my schoolmates lost the tip of his finger when that happened.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to do it for fun. Let's make a minefield.
Right? Listen, y'all, I was so deadly with bottle rockets. We could be in a field that was probably 60 yards long and probably about 25 yards wide, and we'd have bottle rocket wars. Nobody wanted to play with me because I'd just stand out in the open, and I'd have a punk in my mouth. And I'd stand there and hold them and throw them at you. I could hit you on a dead run.
They probably afraid they go boom.
Oh, I hit dude in the face, and he got lucky and turned and slapped it off of his face before it blew up. I would have blown his face off.
Oh, my God.
That's when you get scared and go, uh-oh, his mama's going to tell my mama.
Oh, no, this is going to be worse. This is going to be more parenting tips that Tim's going to friggin' hate. Y'all remember how, let's face it, that a tent today is not the same tents that we had growing up. Remember the hollow aluminum poles that you used for the frame to go ahead and do the stuff around? Look, let me tell you right now, those were the best bottle rocket launchers ever. And we would build a whole line of them across yards and stuff like that to go ahead, and it would look like the old Russian screaming memes the way we would launch bottle rockets. And we would have wars from, you know, one time three to the other. Oh, yeah,
yes.
We would set that stuff up. And don't forget about it. And when it came to close-range battles, oh, yeah, you were using Roman candles for that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tim, would your other half kill me for my parenting tips now?
She wouldn't kill you. She'd kill me if I followed any of it.
Wait a minute. You know what that means, Todd? Todd, he's being really smart because he's writing all this crap down.
He is.
It's like,
well, it's kind of funny. I asked my one neighbor across the way here when her and her hubby got the steel roof put on the house. I was like, hey, do you care how we sound if it finds, or do you care if we find out how it sounds if a bottle rocket lands on your roof? She was like, don't you dare. I was like, I just knew it'd be a different sound. I wanted to find out.
Quarter mile from my house, I got the howitzer, man. Awesome. Shakes my house every time
God.
I shoot it off.
Well, here's what I remember growing up before potato cannons became a thing. They used the old the container for the tennis balls. They were tennis ball cannons. You put a little hole in the bottom of it, dropped a single tennis ball in there, squeezed in some lighter fluid and lit it and pointed it.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Listen, man.
It was a tennis ball cannon, and let me tell you, a tennis ball fly a lot nicer than a potato, but it don't have the impact.
Nope. But
I'll tell you what. One of my favorites is when I was a kid. When I was a kid on the news, they were talking about once. I don't remember when, how old I was, but you know, one of the big things to do is Drano bombs. I don't know if you ever
heard
of
Drano. Yeah, Drano bombs. Yeah.
But they got on the news and they were talking about the newest thing, the latest thing the kids were doing that was dangerous, you know. So what did they do on the news? They showed you exactly how to make one. And I thought, you morons, if people weren't already making them in the neighborhood, they're going to be now because you just showed everybody how to make it on the damn 6 o'clock news.
Wait a minute.
They're
giving
away
the
business.
So I'm going
to
assume I was a good bit older.
Yes.
I'm going to assume I was older and out of the picture. So provide some details.
it's damn near the same thing as putting a bunch of Mentos in a Diet Coke bottle. You basically, and I honestly, it's a little sad. I never made one. I'm deprived. Maybe Velvet's got some experience, but as far as I know, you would just take Drano and mix it with a bunch of wadded up balls of foil, and then cap.
Oh, yeah, no, that was called the works. It was called the works.
And then,
yeah.
And then you would cap it.
Right.
And you could watch the
thing
explode, and then it would come blow up.
60 feet in the air.
Yep.
Dude, that was nasty. Let me tell you something. They pulled it from the shelf because it had two powerful ingredients in it that nobody realized, oh, crap, we put this in this cleaner. You know, oh, nobody will figure it out. Oh, we damn sure did.
Nice.
Oh, that's
my parents were so mad at me. I destroyed their metal garbage cans. with that trick you're talking about, blew them up, dude. Awesome.
In high school, had a package of M80s. He had a whole little like lunch baggie, a little brown baggie full of M80s. And for those of us that was up and around in the 80s, you guys remember those Milmac Zodiac cup sets that everybody had?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, they were light blue and tan and all that. Well, he was drinking a glass of milk and had it sitting on the steps of his folks' house, right? And one of the nitwits in the gang grabbed one of those M80s.
Wait a minute. Hold on one moment. Dave, who did you ever hang around with that actually drank milk?
There was a couple of them. I cannot confirm or deny, but I'll tell you, I was probably the band leader when it came down to not drinking milk. So I will definitely, you know. But he had that glass of milk sitting there, and one of the knuckleheads in the crowd took one of those M80s. That's when I learned that an M80 would float, and he put the M80 in the milk and lit it. And it blew that Aries cup all to hell. I mean, it shattered it, but not shattered it like glass. It actually just broke it in a bunch of pieces. And, you know, it's one of those things where you would figure the reaction would be, you know, like, oh, dang, cool. All of us were standing there looking like, first off, we couldn't believe something actually destroyed Milmac. And the other thing is we're going, oh, shit, his mom's going to miss that Aries Cup.
Yep.
That's funny. Kids do stupid stuff, and semi-adults do, too. I'll tell you, I'm going to assume I was 20 years old when I learned that the Coffee Mate, it might not have been specifically Coffee Mate, but one of those powdered creamer things that existed at the time, that stuff was flammable. Highly
really?
Flammable. Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
And yet, see, you guys lived a sheltered life. I remember being on that balcony taking a packet of that stuff from one of our MREs, and it just, boy, that stuff made a beautiful flame as it fell.
Wow. Hey, Todd, Tim resembles that remark, so I don't like that.
Oh, there we go.
Tim lived a sheltered life. I'm sorry you have a buddy that lived a sheltered life. My bad. Tim, we love you. It's all good. Remind me if I come see you, I'll help you blow some shit up.
Don't worry. I've made up for it. Even if I didn't make Grano bombs, I definitely made up for it. There were some. There was a neighborhood kid who made his own. I'm not going to say the word B-O-M-B or anything like that, but he took a lifesaver hose container and he filled it with his dad's gunpowder and then put a wick in it and blew that sucker up, and he went off and it was this wooded area called, it was called Delaware Commons. He let that sucker off, and we were all on our bikes, and we bolted, and we waited. We got clear down to the other end of the neighborhood. It was a big neighborhood over into my yard, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. We're like, man, you don't know what you're doing. That was a dud. And about that time, the loudest damn bomb sound, whatever, went off. I mean, it didn't do anything. Like, we're not talking like craters or anything like that, but it was just loud as hell. No, you know, there wasn't any property damage, anything like that. It was just in a common area, and we all knew to get away. But that thing was the loudest god pop I had ever heard. And we all scattered, and we stayed. We went to our homes right after that, and we stayed put. And we're, I don't know what happened. But, yeah, I just made up for it. We did our fair share of shenanigans.
Provide some background for Velvet. Velvet, just so you know, Indy has some great boom booms. They definitely have some boom boom, bang bang, fireworks, whatever you want to talk. So, they have good stuff. Like, I remember near July 4th, I hit one of the, there's a couple stories here. So my first summer up in Indy with the fireworks stores, I went over to, and you may or may not have them in South Carolina, the pop-ups that'll grab like a vacant spot in a little strip mall or whatever. I know you've got some major places. So I stopped by one of these little strip mall joints, and I was like, man, I'm going to go over to my friends in Cincy. She got a two-year-old. I'm going to take them, I'm going to take some, you know, classic sparklers. I'm going to take the little poppets that the kids can throw down. I'm going to get some of the little ladyfinger firecrackers.
Right.
I'm going to find a couple Roman candles, odds and ends. You know, I grab some stuff. Get a receipt from the place. They had to send it to you by email. So, of course, you know, I don't worry. Wife's got my email. My receipt came in. I found it in the junk mail. And when I read the way the receipt came in, I started laughing my ass off. I put it in my inbox. And sure enough, I got the phone call. The wife goes, "What the hell is the boom boom room?" She didn't look at the
boom
fact
boom room.
Spent less than $20. She just saw that it was called the boom boom room. That was one of the all time great ones for that. But so you know, I deliberately got myself in trouble for that one. But here's what's cool. So I hit one of these fireworks joints.
That's if you came home with $2 bills in your pocket.
Before I crossed the state line going into Ohio, and I was like, and it was a giant warehouse, and it was just like you saw the big light shine, the big soft glowing light shining down the angels singing, and it was just, it was like, oh, I can get in trouble here. And I was like, hey, you got some mortar stuff that I can use? And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, do you want to shatter windows or not shatter windows? So they got access to good stuff in Indy. I'm just saying. Get good stuff. Do you want to shatter windows or not shatter windows? Lord.
I'm shatter everybody's windows. What are you talking about? I go big or go home, baby.
Oh, man.
Have you got...
You know what? Will your wife back that statement?
No, I got the micro penis working. Robbie laughed. Girl, you know about the joke, dude.
That's freaking great.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I got
that's
that micro
story.
Penis. I go to the grocery store. I get some lube. Some butt plugs.
That's wonderful.
And and I get the extra small condoms.
you'll mess with that Y2K
stuff. Hey, I thought we were talking about.
That's funny, right?
I thought we were talking about Mars and not Uranus.
Oh well, that's it, buddy. Have you seen the new apparatus out there? It's called a drill-do. Have you seen it?
Ooh.
Oh,
God.
Oh,
man.
It's got an 8-inch dong on it on the end of your high-powered drill. It's called a drill-do.
Reminds me of that Top Secret movie with Val Kilmer where that scene where he was in prison and the guy got a present. It was something called the anal intruder. Remember that?
Hey,
look up the guy.
He's called the Copenhagen Bandit. The guy's funny. He's in Joplin, Missouri. He has all these quick little funny things. He's a stand-up comic, but he puts stuff on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. He's funny as all hell. That's where I got that from. He is funny. I mean, some of it's
I'm
going to
look him up.
But he's actually funny. It's a trip. He goes, he had to go to the bathroom. He goes, I must have gone to a gingivitis convention. I had tweakers and geekers stand outside to come and go, and I couldn't get in there to go to the bathroom. Like, do you got $2 for I can get me a pack of cool?
Oh, God.
Hey, I'd like to go on the record as saying I showed very, very, very mature restraint just a moment ago when you said you guys want to know about this thing called the dildo drill. I came dangerously close to saying, nice.
Hey, hold up. I got to tell you a true story. A buddy of mine lived in an apartment complex, lived upstairs, two apartments upstairs, two apartments below. The two apartments below got flooded out, so there was no tenants. His neighbor upstairs was deaf. So he had a flight of about 25 to 30 stairs to get straight to his door. Okay, I was the bouncer. A lot of people rolled down those stairs, trust me. So he actually had one. He made it long before this guy. This is probably late 90s, probably 98, 99. I'd come home from wrestling, go straight there because we'd party all night. Had the bar set up right there in the house. As soon as you walked in, you ran right into the bar, and it stretched the whole front piece of the room, man. Great. So when he got drunk, I became the backup. I became the backup bartender. I made a few people pass out in their time, but these two girls were looking like they were about to get it on, and we were watching, and we were just sitting there talking behind the bar the whole time. They didn't even hear a word we were saying. They were just connected right there, face to face. So Dan goes, hey. He goes, look here, I got something for y'all. He pulled out the Black & Decker, had a dildo on it, put it on there, and spun it around. It was flapping around. He goes, y'all might want to use that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we got that.
Holy crap. That was fun. But that was a true story. I can get Dan on the show, and he'll tell you.
You know what? Get him on the show. And just for the record, hey, Dr. John, this is what goes on when you ain't around.
Next week's topic.
I'm listening.
Dildo.
I haven't had any comments yet, but I will. But I've been listening.
They come in micro penis size too, sir, whoever said something about a dildo.
Okay.
You know, a few shows back, Todd, I don't know how many it was, maybe a month ago, it was all about midgets. I mean, midget porn, I mean, come on. Midget porn was trending for like a week after our show.
Oh, yeah, we had that one, Rock and Roll. Not only midget porn, but midget porn ninjas.
That's right. We had...
Gee, you know how many people listen to this show now, don't you?
True story.
Yeah, it's true.
I learned a new term this week. Speaking of that, every now and then you learn as an adult these new terms that they're using around, like teabagging and all that kind of nifty mess. Well, a young man at my workplace told me that the new term for having intercourse with somebody of a lesser height is known as dunking nuggets.
Wow.
Dude, I'm here to tell you, I'm a 50-year-old man.
Awesome.
And I swear, when
awesome.
He told me that, I was useless. I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, it was laughing. I was laughing to the point where I just could not get any air. And, you know, it's just, God, that was funny. Dunkin' Nugget. So, not Dunkin'
Nugget. They love him some damn minted jokes because you were on the damn Zamboni I told you the story about Gary and having the vehicle accident, and Gary told me that the guy he had the vehicle mishap with was about the height of our old store manager.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy goes, I'm not happy. And Gary goes, well, which of the seven are you?
Oh, God. I was in the back driving the Zamboni when Todd told me that joke. And I tell you, I about drove the thing right into a metal post. I could not quit laughing. Because he come in there with a chip on his shoulder and say, hey, how's it going this morning? I ain't happy. So, which one of the seven dwarfs are you then?
I will tell you right now, Dave bounced that Zamboni off the steel on the side of the wall about a dozen times as he was going down the way.
I
he
to
was
get
damn
off
laughing. And I was like, all I know is if the safety guy would have seen him, he would have sworn Dave was drunk, but he was just laughing.
I could not stop laughing, and that one's still to this way. And I've actually checked myself, being a 5'7 of height. I've found myself stopping that. If somebody ever says, you know, how's it going? Well, I'm not happy. You know, so now I always say, not pleased. Because I don't want somebody throwing the dopey or doc label on my ass, so I am very careful ever since that joke with every. What's the matter? I'm not happy. Oh, really? You tell Snow White about it yet? If I was 6'4", I would worry about it.
I almost felt guilty after that happened because I know that people heard that damn steel clanging out on the floor.
But that was
ridiculously
funny, man. That was funny. So...
Oh,
here
no,
we
it's
are.
Funny because it's not like he hit just one wall because he was bouncing left and right.
I never took myself off the accelerator. Yeah. I just kept riding on driving. I didn't care at that point. That was a good damn good joke. But, so we've got 12 minutes left.
I wish it was a PBR and it's not. It's a Dr. Pepper.
Ah, shucks. Well, I'll double up on mine on your behalf because I'm that type of guy.
There you go. Yeah, I know. You got my back, Jack, and my liver, too.
I know. What was it I told a friend of mine in high school the other day? I saw him, and he says, man, you're looking good. And I said, well, I appreciate that. I says, I have the mind of a 12-year-old, knees of a 7-year-old, and a liver that's immortal.
Hey. You hang on to that.
Yeah,
listen,
it's going to be.
And Robbie knows this. Robbie, our bodies have a bump count, right, in wrestling. We have a bump. We can only go so far and have to take so many bumps, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I had a drink card, and I think I went, like, two cards past that.
Oh, wow.
I'm right there with you, Velvet.
There you go, buddy.
My liver might have been immortal, but my pancreas said, hold up.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I was just saying my liver might have been immortal, but my pancreas said, we ain't having that shit anymore.
Let me tell you how I feel today, okay?
It's interesting if you listen to some medical experts, they tell you that the heart has only X number beats, period, no matter what you do. And they're the same ones that'll be like, they're the ones that'll say, don't matter whether you exercise or whether you nap, you got X number beats, period. And it's just like, I'm like, you know, I got enough bad habits that I try to do enough good things to kind of half-ass counteract them.
Right.
But good grief. It's insane, people.
I got one for you.
It's insane.
I sent this text out to my family. It said, my body is not a temple. It is a Federation starship with critical hull damage and shields at 0%. And then my family are smart asses. My youngest brother said, just point the photon torpedoes at the dilithium crystals and get out on impulse power. It worked last week. And then my oldest brother put Scotty saying, I cannot change the laws of physics, Captain. All right, that was enough of that. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then my dog.
I'm a physician, not a magician, Jim.
Mm. Hey, buddy.
So real quick,
we're
down
the,
to the
3 minutes. Hey, we ain't touched it on the wild, Velvet. We ain't touched on it a bit. You know we all love you, and you know you got all our prayers, positive thoughts, and good karma your way.
Well,
to be clear.
Monday I find out what my schedule is and when I start radiation. So y'all will be the first to know.
Yeah, keep us hip what's going on, man. Definitely.
Yeah, please do, bro.
Well, feel old today. Hey. I hurt my leg somehow, and I don't know what I did to it. My right leg, my right knee, have no clue what I did. So, kind of hobbling right now, but it'll be all right.
Now, you didn't play flag football, buddy?
Nope, I didn't play because my leg wouldn't let me.
Okay.
So, I mean, I helped them out. They still got murdered because we got a bunch of guys together that never played together before, so it's kind of hard to go out on game one and go, all right, we're going to win. No, you're not. You're getting your ass handed to you. Which they did. Well, now they know what to expect. I try, you know, I can talk to them as long as I can. And then one of the guys goes, you're the damn coach. You need to get your ass out on the field and help us out. I said, I can help you out with my brain, but the body's going,
oh, God, you're doing so much better than so many Democrats if you can help someone with the brain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nice. I didn't mean to say that. I did not say that. I'm sorry. Cancel that from the podcast.
I'm glad you own that. I'm glad you own that because I was just going to say I didn't say that out loud.
Right?
That remark is there forever. Forever.
Yeah, cancel culture coming up. Look out now. Somebody's got to get triggered. So,
you know what? I'm going to tell them what the Russian chaplain told me in the military.
Tough be done.
Tufty shitsky.
You got it.
Thick in the skin. I'm not even going to get off on it. I'm fighting it right now. So with all that being said, we've got, 5 minutes left. We better pass this thing around for some closing plugs and everything. So, Velvet.
Oh, God, it made it sound like we were at, it was our last blunt at the end of a concert.
It was close to it. Almost. But sometimes there's no ending. So, I mean, we got to, you know, we got to pinch it off somewhere. But, yeah, 5 minutes. Anybody got anything to add, subtract, or multiply? Any plugs out there? Rob, you got anything, buddy?
All right, I'm going to be as quick as I possibly can. Look, I'm blessed. I love my family. I'm lucky to have them. They are the absolute best. Take care of yourselves, because if you don't take care of yourselves, you can't take care of your family, and you can't take care of one another. It's not a selfish thing. It's just a way to keep it going forward. Love you all.
Amen,
big
brother.
Hug.
Amen. Love you too. Amen. Good job.
Bill, you got anything for us?
I'll go. Listen, I'll go. I love you guys. You guys have been awesome since I haven't personally met y'all. I hope to, in the future, meet every one of y'all. I think this is an awesome thing that we do weekly. You know, to me, it's like 5-6 gentlemen just sitting down, having a cigar and a beer, and just talking. I love every minute of it.
Absolutely. Granny, we include you as a gentleman, just for the record.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hey,
I didn't even know she was on there. She's too quiet.
Well, you know, I was just enjoying listening to all the conversations. I really didn't have, you know, that much knowledge of UFOs or anything like that. So I was just enjoying all the conversations. So, you know, it was
you
a
know,
great program tonight.
Me,
it was a great show.
Y'all could have warned me that Granny was on the line when I talked about the other thing. Thanks, y'all, throwing me under the bus.
You're
Did you not know that I was on the show, Velvet?
No. Uh-oh.
It's a Velvet, it's okay. It's okay. No problem.
Well,
it's all right.
You're not the one who brought
it's
up
in the English language, Velvet. I'm pretty sure she commented at one point when she heard about the big deal, though. I'm pretty sure she said, like, yeah, baby.
Oh!
You guys are, oh, man, you guys are something else. So.
That's nuts. Nuts, Todd.
So, Rob, you got anything to do in there? Anything coming up?
In the room. Wait a second. What tomorrow is WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our discussion will be celebrity appearances in wrestling for tomorrow night for WCW Retro, and then Friday night. Awesome. Yeah, bring them all down.
I'll bring Andy down, absolutely.
Fantastic.
And Nicole Smith.
Yeah, her too. Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time will be my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone. And the feature for this Friday night will be Bride of the Monster, Storm Bell Lugosi.
Oh, yes.
So please
do that. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Very good. Very good. Outstanding. Now, Dr. John, since you came back to us, did you want to throw on a plug for your book? You just started off with UFOs and gifted.
Well, okay, yeah. It's Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. It's on Amazon.com. Just type in my name, John Stamey, and type in Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. Also got to plug the one and only Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. News is coming out about that tomorrow on Facebook. And Velvet, what are we doing Sunday night?
We have an NWA territory guy named Rick McCord, who started in 1978 and wrestled until he retired in 1994. And in my opinion, he wrestled in the greatest era of professional wrestling. My opinion only. Take it or leave it. I don't care. No, he's a great guy. He tag team champion with Thunderbolt Patterson, and you know, I said Pork Chop Cash, but it was Thunderbolt Patterson or was it Pork Chop Cash? I think it was Pork Chop Cash. My bad.
Might have been both.
Might have been. He's a great dude. He ended up being a limo driver after he retired. Now he owns a limo business himself and does a lot of corporate events in his hometown of just outside of Roanoke, Virginia. So that's where he's at.
Great. Thank you very much for sliding that in under mine. Back to you, Cousin Dave.
Well, Tim, do you got anything to throw in there?
Do what? Shot who?
One big family. I swear you said Cousin Dave.
I did. I can call him anything I want.
We have gotten very appellation, apparently.
Oh, Lord.
He's confusing me with Cousin It. Since I shaved my head, I no longer qualify. So, Tim out there,
I've got to be like Robert Stack from Airplane fighting all the charities. Jehovah's Witness. Latter-day Saints.
The only thing I got to say is hats off again to everyone. Do a great show. I enjoy the time with everybody. And there's a suggestion, maybe next week and from here on out, the British lady needs to say that this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences the way this one went.
listen. Until the left takes over and tells us we can't do and we can't say what we're saying, they can all go you-know-what themselves.
Well, since I'm the owner, we're staying on, period.
That's right.
Love you guys. You guys are the best.
Outstanding.
There you go.
Thank
you
all.
They're
my better
people. Great. We talk about them in the dictionary. That's all I got to say. You guys are the best.
Yep. No XLX for any of us tonight.
Wow.
If it makes you feel any better, I really don't need it.
Well, thanks for that info, buddy.
Yeah, trust me. That's the last thing I need. But with all that being said, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We're in the extra innings now, so while the British lady's getting upset, she might try to go back to 1776 and win this war all over again. But nevertheless, we appreciate everybody listening and appreciate all of you guys joining us. Hope you guys stay safe. Much love to everybody. And with all that, thanks again, everybody, for listening to Pop Culture
Duncan
Stars.
Nugget.
Duncan.
All right.
Duncan Nugget.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Stay safe. Take care of one another.
Big hug.
Amen.